Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You guys make the time slip right through my fingers. Love being with you. Welcome aboard. You know, in my mind, and I think it's just an honest statement, when you win fair and square, you don't fight about it. When you lose, or when you win because you've cheated and people are onto you and you're desperate to cover up the setup that was the steal, you got to start running some interference. And that's exactly what's going on. I believe with this new deal that the left has embarked upon, it is the plan to destroy and to disbar Trump attorneys who questioned 2020. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to open up the article. It's by Axios. I found it very interesting. We're getting a lot of stories that seem a little bit more fair from Axios, from Politico. These are not conservative sources at all, but they're sniffing around some stuff. I wonder if every now and again, somebody there is having an epiphany. And this is the title of this Axios.com report. It says, "Scoop, high-powered group targets Trump lawyers' livelihoods." What a sad, sad place to be. If you're a Democrat, that your heart has been darkened like coal, and you see the world through jealous, angry lenses, and you want to destroy, and you seek revenge, and you're on a mission to ruin other people's lives. I don't get it. I've never felt like that. "A dark money group with ties to Democratic Party heavyweights will spend millions this year to expose and try to disbar more than 100 lawyers who worked on Donald Trump's post-election lawsuits. People involved with the efforts tell Axios." What are they so afraid of getting out? You know exactly what they're afraid of. The truth. It's called the 65 Project, and it plans to begin filing complaints this week and will air ads in battleground states. Filing complaints this week. You guys remember that Glenn Hirschman guy, or Kirschman, or whatever his name was? He's the legal guy. He's an analyst for MSNBC, who yesterday was talking about removing Judge Aileen Cannon from this classified documents case, and the push that he was trying to galvanize in some kind of a letter writing campaign to bitch and moan their way through. "We don't like her. She's not doing what we want. We want her gone." It's so juvenile, and it's so desperate, and it's so ugly, and it's so predictable. And that is this on steroids. John Eastman. They're trying to disbar John Eastman. He's the trial balloon. And this is what's coming to 111 attorneys who did their jobs and were hired to file paperwork questioning the veracity of that election, questioning whether those results should have been certified. This is the United States of freaking America. It is our right to petition our government. It is our right and our destiny to be doubtful. Because the minute you close an eye to it, you get Joe Biden. The group aims to take its name from a count of lawsuits that sought to invalidate the 2020 results. Is that really what the claim was, or the aim was, to invalidate? Or was it to present evidence to a judge and a jury of our freaking peers that we saw a bunch of crap that shouldn't have freaking happened? That doesn't happen in the United States of America when things are not corrupt, when elections are not rigged. And when people saw it, they were silenced. They were threatened. They were blackmailed. They were doxxed. This is exactly what they're trying to do to these attorneys. And it pisses me. So let's talk about the genius who's behind this. David Brock, who founded Media Matters for America and the Super PAC American Bridge 21st Century. He's a Hillary Clinton ally. That's so weird. And a prolific fundraiser for Democrats, advising the group. The advisory board members include former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, Paul Rosenzweig, conservative member of the Federalist Society, who was former senior counsel for Ken Starr's Clinton-era Whitewater investigation. That's code for swamp. And served in George W. Bush's Department of Homeland Security. Former Utah Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Christine Durham, and Roberta Ramo, the first woman to serve as president of the American Bar Association. What? Do you see how far-reaching the swamp and the suck and the corruption and the fear and the scramble, how deeply it goes? The project was devised by Melissa Moss, a Democratic consultant and former senior Clinton administration official. It's like they're all so in bed together. Some of the lawyers targeted described the tactics as naked political intimidation. You think? Quote, "This move is nothing more than a desperate attempt by leftist hacks and mercenaries," said Paul Davis, a Texas attorney, targeted for his presence at the Capitol on January 6th. He described an effort to, quote, "neutralize anyone on the right with the ability to stand in the way of the left's efforts to hide malfeasance in the 2020 elections and to clear the path for a repeat of similar malfeasance in the 2022 midterms and beyond." You guys believe everything that what you heard about those midterms? I don't. So let's talk about this 65 project. It's targeting 111 attorneys in 26 states who were involved to some degree in efforts to challenge or reverse 2020 election results. They include lawyers at large national law firms with many partners and clients and lawyers at smaller regional firms. This group is going to air ads in battleground states. It's almost like it's a tit for tat. We're going to try to take you down. We just got the New York Times Siena College poll. Bad news for Biden in the battleground states. He's getting freaking clobbered. And he's been getting clobbered by black voters, by Hispanic voters, by young voters, by suburban women voters. Oh my gosh. We're going to target all these battleground states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Listen to how freaking scary this is. The 65 Project will also push the American Bar Association and every state bar association to codify rules barring certain election challenges and adopt model language stating that, quote, "fraudulent and malicious lawsuits to overturn legitimate election results violate the ethical duties lawyers must abide by." This is called blackmail. This is the bribery blackmail apparatus, which is the central nervous system of suck in the swamp. This is what we want to be able to do. We're going to put in the people we want to be in charge. Whether or not all you morons out there vote for them, we're going to make sure these people win. And if any lawyers out there get a bug up their butt to challenge what we've decided we want so we stay in power forever, we will find you. We will hunt you down. We will disbar you. We will take away your livelihood. We'll embarrass you in your neighborhood. We will ruin your life. And we will send a rippling effect message, chilling. Ooh, get a sweater. To others, you best not muck with us. Ew. Does this sound like people who are threats to democracy? Sounds like it to me. Pay close attention to that phrase, threats to democracy. This 65 project that's bent on going after attorneys who dare seek the truth, threatening them with ruin. If that's not a threat to the very framework of American democracy, I don't know what is. There's more that you need to know about, all right? More to this, and something that you need to know about young women. All is not lost, because apparently young women are a lot more conservative than even they know. Details next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. I don't want to deviate too far from this 65 project. This is a bunch of Democrats. They're calling it bipartisan, but it's all uniparty swamp creatures who are trying to... they're trying to unleash a chilling effect in the law and to scare lawyers from being conservative. So the guy who's advising the 65 project said that the idea is, quote, not only to bring the grievances in the bar complaints, but shame them and make them toxic in their communities and in their firms. So if you're a lawyer and you get hired by Donald Trump or somebody in your community who says to you after the 2020 election, you know, I saw something, or 2024, I saw something, it was kind of weird, and I've got evidence and I've got these affidavits and all this stuff, I just don't know what to do with it. I think I want to file a lawsuit. If you're a schlub who takes that case, this group, the 65 Project, is going to come for you. They're going to dox you. And he says their goal is to ruin your life. That's creepy. That's pathological. That's deranged. That's Trump derangement syndrome. Just so you know, there are people out there who could be using their God-given gifts and talents to do magnanimous things for this country, to make things better for all of us. And if they're a Democrat, it's almost exclusively used in a malevolent way, in a devious way, to cover up something under the illusion of a threat to democracy. We've got to protect democracy, which means we're going after anybody who goes against us. Sounds very defensive, much. So I think you guys deserve a good story. Now, admittedly, I'm a mom of five sons. I have three adult sons. They are not very confident in their ability to find a young, conservative, practical, pragmatic woman. Because it seems everybody who's about their age, and they range from 18 to 24, every young woman has been indoctrinated and is waving a Hamas flag. And they're like, we're so done with these girls. How about this? The Wentworth Report. Wentworthreport.com. I'm encouraged. Survey. Most young women hold conservative beliefs but hide them. It's this whole bullying, blackmail nonsense. Here's your story. Women face incredible pressure to suppress our conservative inclinations. A recent national survey by the KA Consulting Group on behalf of the Claire Booth Luce Center for Conservative Women reveals this truth. How about this? Among all women, 80% of whom did not identify as conservative. 79% think a stay-at-home mom is equal in success to women in a professional field. Hells yeah. 74% think kids should have the opportunity to attend a school of their choice, regardless of zip code. Yeah, we agree with that too. 71% oppose transgender surgeries for minors. 68% plan to be married with at least one child by the time they're 30. 64% think hookup culture is harmful to women. 62% oppose men competing in women's sports. 42% of all women conceal or downplay their views. Among these, 75% cite the desire to avoid conflict, and another 10% fear losing friends or family. Among self-identified conservative women, 50% conceal their views, and in addition to avoiding conflict, 10% fear being canceled, and 9% fear a negative effect on their grades. The story of suppressed conservative instincts begins with government-run K through 12 education. Bing, 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 bing. Then you move to higher education and online spaces, reinforcing all these leftist assumptions. I remember when Donald Trump won in 2016. And I think it was that night or the next night. Joe and the boys and I went out to dinner to our favorite place in the neighborhood to grab hot dogs and beers, chicken wings, hot dog, beers. And we were sitting at a table next to a group of people loudly talking about, Don, what a dork that guy, what a loser. Can you believe these idiots who voted for this clown? Really loud. And I was like, wait a minute, don't we all still sort of subscribe to that respectful, quiet norm of not talking about sex, money, religion, and politics in public? See, people on the left presume. No, they assume that you're with them. They assume that you're drinking the Kool-Aid because they've been browbeaten and blackmailed into submission too. They're afraid as well. Young women out there, don't suppress your views. Don't stomp on your values. Don't change for anybody. And if anybody in your family or any klutz friend of yours judges you because of it, there's two simple words that you should say. Suck it. That's it. With that comes great peace and clarity. Be who you are. My boys would like to meet you. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you guys, the left will, in fact, lie about anything if they think it'll help them win, even about Michael Cohen. I think we need a transfusion of something for Lawrence O'Donnell. Stat after this. Don't miss it. Delicious. Can we just have an honest conversation about all these lawsuits? I mean, I get on the one side, I totally get why Democrats are so angry and they always look so, they're so mad, their fists are clenched and they've got that scowl on their face and they're like, rah! And you're kind of like, you know what? Everything in the world seems to be upside down. And I think we can take a step back and we can appreciate what is good in our lives, and it's our families. It's your faith that this is not forever, that things will get better. It's your belief in that and the love you share that is unwavering for the people, select few in your life. I understand, and I wish, as enjoyable as it is to listen to people lose their everlasting minds, it's such a shame because it's unnecessary. And this refusal on the left to see the error of their ways, to step outside of the Trump derangement syndrome, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. I don't celebrate in that because it's exhausting. It's like the poor schlub picking up all of those little things on the highway that I told you about in the monologue. You're just like, ugh. Think about their cases. They are all being tried by people who suck, by DAs who have been groomed, who are minorities. Why ever would that be? It's so weird, right? Who've been put specifically in positions funded by people who have malevolent intent, who hate this country, who don't believe in what you believe in. And all of these cases are just going, I mean, when your character witnesses are porn stars and dudes who have evaded taxes, who've been sent to prison for lying, who are general overall unbelievable dirtbags, and you've got cases that are so flimsy that they're falling apart left and right, no wonder they're angry. But if you're willing to lie about anything to stay in power, and that anything involves Michael Cohen, really? So what do we know about Michael Cohen? You don't even need to know much. He's a lawyer. He worked with Donald Trump for many years. We understand in the early 2000s, it has been alleged that he was shacking up with Stormy Daniels, and that it was in fact his concocted idea to extort Trump for money. And so he's on the stand yesterday admitting, he admitted he was the guy who wrote the check, not Donald Trump. He was the guy who wrote the check to Stormy Daniels that has been used as some kind of a hush money payment to quiet some affair that did not happen. What are we doing? Let's read this before we get some Lawrence O'Donnell, who's outside still waxing poetic about these people, who's trying to tell you there was no more seasoned and calm, wonderful witness in the world, very believable, very trustworthy than Michael Cohen. He's a dirtbag, just like you, Larry. Gateway pundit Michael Cohen admits paying former porn star Stormy Daniels from his own pocket. What are we doing? We're trying to do anything we can. I mean, I've got some pasta. It's on the stove. I'm taking out some noodles. I'm throwing them all over the place, but they're falling off. Nothing is sticking. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Cue the porn star. Ew. The ongoing legal saga surrounding former President Trump continues as he faces a New York City jury. A case which has been characterized by the defense as another instance of lawfare propelled by Democrats and the Biden regime. No question. That's called election interference. Donald Trump was allegedly impeached for that, right? Is yet to have a clearly defined criminal act that Mr. Trump is accused of committing. What did he do? Tell me what he did. What is he accused of doing? What? What? Tell me one thing. He slept with a hooker. Even if he did so, I don't care. Does he run the country well? Does he have sound fiscal policy? When he's in office, do other countries fear us because he's a badass? Yeah. Yeah. When he was in office, did we have wars? No. Was inflation down? Yes. Did we have a thriving economy? Mm-hmm. Did tens of thousands of manufacturing companies come back to the United States? Yeah. Were we energy independent? You better believe it. So what are we doing? Well, obviously, that goal is singularly focused. Get something to stick that turns off enough people to Donald Trump. Say that he's a criminal. He's a convicted felon. He's terrible. Whether anything ever happens to him, just so you can run on that. So this Michael Cohen comes out. He's like, yeah, I wrote the check. So tell me how it's hush money. Oh, it's the way it was accounted. It was in the ledger. That's a felony. Really? We already know that there's no way anybody else would be charged with this. I want you to hear Lawrence O'Donnell, triggered activist freak show over at MSNBC. With a straight face, mind you, this is the guy who had a dream sequence, a Democrat dreamscape about Stormy Daniels. Tried to make her sound like a nun, pure as the driven snow, like a Bible verse on a Sunday morning. Come on, Larry. Right? She had her hair pulled back in a clip, like a soccer mom, ready to make dinner before going out and reshoeing her horses. Larry, what are you smoking, dude? So he's going to come out. He's apparently at the courthouse. I'm here live on the Manhattan Street. And this is what happened inside. I've got two audio sound bites for you. One is more obnoxious than the next. We're going to start with, this is the guy, of course, who pushed for Michael Avenatti for president. We're going to push now. He says Michael Cohen's demeanor has been perfect, that he's been a model witness. He is above reproach. He is a model citizen. This guy doesn't lie about anything. I mean, he served 3 years in prison for it, but shh, we don't have to talk about that. Listen to Lawrence O'Donnell losing his ever-loving mind. Go.
No reason to think anything negative about Michael Cohen. His demeanor has been flawless from the prosecution's standpoint. This is a version of Michael Cohen we don't see publicly. He is composed and he speaks carefully. His answers are short. As short as they can be, which is what the prosecutor wants from him. Frequently, the answers are yes and no. There's nothing combative about it, about him. There's nothing defensive about him. And he will, of course, be tested on this on cross-examination. That's what everyone's waiting for, is who will Michael Cohen be on cross-examination? Because if he is this Michael Cohen, then he's going to win cross-examination, because this particular presentation of himself is a very appropriate courtroom presentation of himself. Whether he can maintain that under the pressure of cross-examination and under the kinds of insults that will be part of the cross-examination is the big mystery about him as a person and as a witness.
Wow. Do you think Larry feels how twisted into pretzel he is? I mean, he's in a knot right now. Whatever iteration of Michael Cohen we're going to get, this one, the guy who lied to all sorts of people about his money, who served time in the clink for this. Well, I don't know. We might get that guy. Let's just remember who this guy is, right? He is an absolute dirtball who has lied endlessly, who has schemed, who has deceived, who has connived, who's evaded taxes, who lied to get a mortgage. This was Michael Cohen back in 2016, 2017, because it sounds like that version of Michael Cohen very much loved Donald Trump. That's so weird. Listen.
In all fairness, who hasn't said something or done something that they regret simply trying to protect somebody that they care about? And I care about Mr. Trump. But one thing Donald Trump is, he's a compassionate man.
He's a man of great intellect, great intuition, and great abilities.
Mr. Trump's memory is fantastic, and I've never come across a situation where Mr. Trump has said something that's not accurate. Mr. Trump truly cares about America. He loves this country.
He's an amazing negotiator, maybe the best ever in the history of this world.
Wow. You guys are down. And it makes
Says
sense
who?
That there would.
Says
polls,
who?
Most of them. All of them?
He's a smart man. He's a decisive man. He's a swift acting individual.
The words the media should be using to describe Mr. Trump are generous, compassionate, principled, empathetic, kind, humble, honest, and genuine.
He's not lying. He was protecting a friend. There's a difference.
What is the difference?
The difference is he was being a true friend. It didn't matter to him. He will ultimately, and I've said this so many times, he will ultimately go down in history as the greatest president.
Wow.
What a difference.
What a difference a few years and $130,000 in federal indictment make, right? Lawrence O'Donnell knows this, of course, and he's going to paint for you a picture, a strange picture of an ambivalent, bored, asleep Donald Trump. Or maybe is it that Trump is sitting in a freaking courthouse purposefully shackled and gagged so he cannot go out and connect with the 100,000 people who show up at his rally in blue New Jersey? Listen to Larry O'Donnell.
The Trump behavior as a defendant is the most absurd defendant behavior I've ever seen.
Ever.
First of all, there is the eye closing, which he now does about 10 minutes into the proceeding. And I think he's doing that to try to prove to us that he's actually not sleeping, because it's only 9:40 a.m.
Wow.
But the eyes are closed for extended periods of time. The head starts to tilt. And then when he's not doing that, I actually saw him looking at photographs, and I could see over his shoulder
of what appeared to be crowds, possibly photographs of his rally this weekend, stuff completely unrelated to this case. And the jury doesn't have a particularly easy view of Donald Trump in this crowded courtroom, and they pretty much never look at him, which is unusual. Most of the time, jurors have a very clear view of defendants, and they have they check them out from time to time during various points in the testimony. But if the jurors could really see how removed from this proceeding Donald Trump actually at least tries to be when he's sitting there at the defense table. And I'm sure it's a deliberate act. I think it's a deliberate act. He wants to show that what's happening on that witness stand is not important to him. But he's just the strangest defendant presence you could possibly ask for. And that's before you even get to his previous occupation as president of the United States.
It's so unfortunate. Isn't it? It's sad. I feel for people like that. Because Donald Trump owns them. You know what his crime was? Not being bullied. Not falling for the blackmail. Not being threatened by people who suck. For loving America and standing up and doing what's right. That we agree with. They cannot handle it. That is your media, ladies and gentlemen. That is your mainstream news. That is what you get, which is why you come here. When we come back, well, first they came for your stove. Then they wanted your ceiling fan. Now they want some part of your morning ritual. The climate wackos. Don't go anywhere. This will blow your mind. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Now, if you're still on an island and you believe that the Biden administration and these globalist jerks don't want you in a 15-minute city living in a small box, not with a car, but with a bicycle and a bus pass, they want to be able to control your thermostat and your lights. They're going to sell it to you as something that's so convenient, it's so nice, it saves the planet. No, it's gross and it's globalist and it sucks. And everybody who knows that, and that makes you a danger. If you're aware of these facts. So what'd they say? They said, oh, we're killing the planet. Oh my gosh. The polar ice caps. You know, if that was the case, the Obamas wouldn't have built on Martha's Vineyard. Because they would know that in a short period of time, just a few short years, they would be underwater. It's all shtick. It's hype for them. And it's stupid and you know it. So now, the wacko Washington Post demands that we take cold showers, ladies and gentlemen, to save the planet. It's what you should be doing. How dare you want heat? What's next? You still want soap? How dare you? It's so stupid. Your stove is causing asthma. Really? Show me the study. Well, it was only 7 people, but we managed to find some kind of a connection. And then we ran with it. Okay. Let's read this story, Breitbart. The hypocritical lunatics at the far-left Washington Post are demanding we do something they never would. Take cold showers to save Mother Earth. I'm never going to take a cold. I'm sorry. I work too hard. I have 2 things that are constants. Air conditioning and hot showers. You gotta love this. This new anti-science piece of nonsense. Why you should embrace using cold water almost all the time. No way they would demand that we all take cold showers. Uh-huh. That's what they want. This is what the Washington Post is saying, okay? Showering accounts for roughly 17% of the water Americans use in their homes, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. That's the EPA, which is another alphabet agency I don't freaking trust because they all suck, right? 17%. Prove it. Prove it. Oh, and by the way, show me that the shots were safe and effective. Oh, that's right. You can't. Your steamy showers also consume energy. Nearly half of a home's hot water is used for bathing. A cold shower not only uses less energy than a hot one, but it also saves water because you don't have to run the tap while you wait for it to heat up. You know, I've got a really great solution for that. I put on the hot water in the sink next to the shower. And it takes about 30 seconds, but it heats up. And it's a lot more cost-effective and reasonable than doing it in the shower. That's me saving the planet. I know. You're welcome. You should also rethink washing your hands with hot or warm water for the same reason. I'm sorry. Does everybody not know that hot water kills germs more than cold water? It's why our dishwashers use hot water. It's why hospitals, when surgeons are scrubbing in, they're not in ice cold water. Ooh, that feels cold. It's hot and steamy, kills germs. Yeah, but you're killing the planet. The Post also demanded we use cold water to rinse our dishes, only proving that no one at the Post has ever done their own dishes, which is why they love their illegal aliens so much, right? The liars and conspiracy theorists at the Post, Washington Post, want you and they want me to live like 8th century savages, but have no intention of doing the same. While we're guilted and then regulated into cold showers, cold dishwasher, no air conditioning and mass transit, see your 15-minute city. These elite hypocrites will continue to enjoy their hot showers, their air conditioning, their private jets, hopscotching all over the world to wag their fingers at you and tell you about your carbon footprint. And then when you ask them, hey, you know, it's funny that you used more jet fuel and all that jazz in one weekend than the average American uses driving their freaking car. People like John Kerry and schmucks like Bill Gates will tell you, well, I've given much more to the planet, so I can do whatever I want. I'm clear. You do as I say. It's gross. And it is predictable. And it is constant. And it is not going to change until they do to you and your neighborhood what they did to Lahaina. Oh, yeah, you like your neighborhood? Yeah, we like it. I think this multi-use apartment complex would look really good here. Ooh, fire. Sounds like a conspiracy theory. Talk to the people in Lahaina. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, hour number three, my goodness. And we're going to go in this direction. Records show the FBI was in on the gain of function stuff in the lab in a dirty, disgusting, despicable way. Are you at all surprised? The Freedom of Information Act requests you need to hear about next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.